One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Merkle Media.
Flashback Friday is here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to April 2022, episode number 220, The Boogeyman from Budapest. Hey, if you're thinking of converting some of your soon-to-be worthless fiat currency into tangible gold and silver, go check out our sponsors, Tony Arterburn and the guys at Wise Wolf. Wolfpack Auto Buy Program, www.macroaggressions.gold. Now enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
not, Swangled in
London. I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing and continued support. Hey, speaking of Iconic, if you're interested, there's a link in the description that will get you 10 days free to check out what they're doing over there. They've been nice enough to have a hub, give us a home since our show started, right about the time Iconic started too. They're doing amazing work over there. They're making their own weekly series. They're making movies. They've got content that you're looking for over there. So if you're interested in checking out what the Netflix of the alternative media looks like, there's a link in the description for Iconic. Just check it out. Try it for 10 days. If you don't like it, no harm, no foul. But I think you're going to like it. There's a lot of stuff going on over there in the UK. And by the way, they're also coming to the United States as well. So we're excited for that. We support the Ikes in whatever they're doing. Also, hey, thanks to our sponsors, Helan 951. I'll tell you, it's an unusual product. It's a fermented soy beverage, which sounds kind of disgusting, but I'll tell you what, it really works well. In fact, the people that are recovering from cancer have really connected with this product. In fact, you got to read about the origin stories of the product. They've been selling it for 30 years, and the way they got onto it is really interesting. I say go over to they made a web landing page for us. If you're interested, you can go to helan951.com/macro. It's pronounced Helan, spelled Halen, H-A-E-L-A-N 951.com/macro. There's a couple videos you can watch, and there's a little bit you can read about it. It's pretty interesting. It's what they're doing over there is they're using soybeans that are grown in Mongolia. They are fermented. They are organic, no GMOs, no pesticides, none of that nonsense. And the product that they're making is having tremendous results. So if you are interested in improving your immune support, anti-inflammatory situation, gut health, energy boost, detoxification, all those things, go to healing951.com/macro. Take a look. See if it's right for you. The link's going to be in the description for that as well. Also, listen, man, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, but you may have to eat a dead horse if we get ourselves in the situation where we're going now, where the stores are shut and the shelves are empty and the supply chain is broken. Listen, you just don't even want that headache in your life. I'm telling you, I've got myself a couple buckets of food. If you are in the market, My Patriot Supply has built us a landing page. You can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and find whatever you need. 4 week supply, 3 month supply of food, whatever. They've got seeds, they've got water purification, they've got air purification, they've got camping gear, they've got amazing things. You can buy storable food there and not freak your family out if you tell them it's for, emergency situations, weather-related emergencies, which, look, it works for everything. But you're not listening to this because you give a shit about the weather. You know what's coming. You know what can happen. Decisions that are made that are out of your control, that are going to impact you. You do not want to be late on this. You don't want to be fighting people in the grocery stores for products that you should be able to easily pick up. So I'll tell you what, be proactive. Please don't be reactive. If you're interested in going through my sponsor, you can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and check it out for yourself. Either way, get yourself prepared. Buy it somewhere else or buy extra food at the grocery store every time you go. Start thinking like a paranoid lunatic because, we're the ones that are going to make it through this because everyone else is convinced that we're conspiracy theorist nut jobs that aren't paying attention. But in fact, we're the ones that are paying attention. We're watching this. We see how this goes. We know what happens when you just put your faith randomly in the government or media to tell you when everything is fine. Listen, if you're waiting for the media to tell you now's the time to buy storable food, you're going to be waiting a very, very long time. They want you dumb and unprepared and scared so that you will tune into their television program and watch and figure out what's going on in the world. Listen, just don't do it. Just be proactive. I don't care if you use my sponsors or if you use someone else's, but I just don't want to hear about people getting caught off guard. And considering we have been watching this slow moving train wreck for a while, we simply cannot be unprepared for this. So get yourself ready however you want to. The links are in the description if you want to use my sponsors, but I encourage you to just do it one way or the other. And The situation in Ukraine is one that I am, frankly, I'm unqualified to speak about it. Everyone is a Ukraine expert these days. I'm not. I'm just not. I just don't know. There's so much detail to that, right? There's so much backstory. This has been going on for a long, long time. I mean, we've got pre-World War II issues between these countries. It's a lot to unpack, and I assure you that CNN is not going to do it, so I'm not going to drift into that too much, but one of the reasons why it is a topic is because we've seen the work of guys like George Soros in the past destabilizing countries, and one of the countries that he's picked on has been Ukraine. And so I think it's important that we recognize that, because this is going to be an episode where we dig into the boogeyman from Budapest, George Soros. Now, I've watched plenty of Rogan episodes, but I remember watching one where he said to his guest, every time someone brings up George Soros' name, I just sort of like drift off and like roll my eyes and just lose touch, like just lose interest. I get it. I understand. You can't be the boogeyman for everything. But I think that Rogan should take another look at that statement that he made. I mean, not that he owes me anything, but it's easy to be dismissive and just go, oh, you go, here you go, guys go with your Soros stuff again. Well, we're not making it up, for one. And if we're here we go again with our Soros stuff again, maybe it's because Soros is up to some bullshit again, which is what he always is up to. And so I think it's important that we sort of unpack who this guy is in a way, just so we have an understanding. This isn't meant to be like his biography or anything like that. And I certainly have zero respect for the guy. You know, I think he's a scumbag. He's a globalist maniac like all these people are, but he's a different flavor. But still dangerous and still involved in a lot of the same things that his partners are. But he comes at this from a little bit of a different angle. And so I want to talk about who he is and what he does and really what he wants and why it's important to us. Because if he's just going around destabilizing Kyrgyzstan and Belarus and Ukraine and everything, there's a segment of the Western audience that's like, I don't know, I can't find those places on a map, let alone care about them, you know. So there, you know, it's tempting to just be a little bit dismissive of Soros because a lot of the work that he does is European centric. And if you're not living in Europe, then you might be thinking, oh, it doesn't really matter to me. Well, but if you're an American, it does matter to you. And if you live through the Black Lives Matter color revolution, the Black Revolution, then it really matters to you. And when you understand that Soros was 100% behind that operation, then it's really going to stick out and you're going to go, okay, hang on a second. So now we've done episodes on woke district attorney weirdos, and people can go back and listen to those episodes. And I encourage you to do that because we take a look at the financing that's coming to support these candidates, and it's coming from Soros. I mean, we're not theorizing that it's coming from Soros. It's like his name's on the check. You know what I mean? Like Open Foundation is cutting the checks. So we're not speculating. This is what he does. But who is he? And what does he do? Right. So what do people know about him? You see him out. You see his face. You know, he looks like a Star Wars villain. He's travels with human Rottweilers, you know, security force of goons, and you know, is he this bad guy that everyone makes him out to be, or is he a philanthropist, as he considers himself? Well, he's no philanthropist. I can assure you that. But he's in this interesting section where he's simultaneously interested in destabilizing countries for his geopolitical benefit, while also simultaneously trying to make money in other areas too. So he's a currency trader, and he's definitely interested in making a buck, but he also wants to screw up and destabilize societies wherever he can, because that gets him off just as much. So we're digging to his past. When you understand sort of what his childhood was like, and you will understand why he has become who he has become. You don't have this lack of respect for humanity unless you've been through the things that, you know, some of the things that he's been through. So he's born Georgi Schwartz in 1930 to Jewish parents who were, they're listed as being non-practicing, but really they were. During World War II, they had documentation saying that they weren't Jews, but they were. And they, of course, they knew they were, but they had the paperwork that shielded them. So, and they changed their names, and so they didn't look like they were Jewish. And we know this because of a 60 Minutes interview that Steve Croft did with George Soros that's very fucking... It's a wild interview, man. You want to talk about a guy that's a sociopath. So I'll get to that in a second. So anyway, what happened was that in 1944 and 1945, a teenage Georgie Schwartz, was helping. He partnered up with his godfather, who wasn't technically related to him, but deemed him his godfather, and helped his family, you know, switch their identities around so that they weren't, you know, gave him the documentation to say that they weren't Jews, that they were actually Christians. And so it allowed them to remain in Budapest and not get put on trains and rounded up and thrown into camps and murdered or sent to work camps to be worked to death or whatever. In fact, not only did he not wind up on those camps, he was part of a group that was in charge of categorizing the left behind valuables of the people that were put on the camps. So he was a Jew pretending to not be a Jew while taking all the possessions of the Jews that were put on the trains and sent to camps. So, I mean, a level of psychopathy that's really difficult to understand. He wound up, just from his country alone, 500,000 Jews were sent to camps. And Soros was there to, you know, as a 14, 15 year old boy to help out with the classification. I'm not trying to say that he was the mastermind of this. Obviously, he was a kid, but he was working in with the people that were categorizing and confiscating all the stolen goods. And of course, the SS was running that operation. So he would be working for the SS as a Jew. Wow. That's something, right? I mentioned that 60 Minutes interview with Steve Croft. You can still find it. It's pretty alarming to watch it. And during this interview, he's recounting this story of how, you know, he was asked to do this and how he, you know, Steve Croft said to him, that sounds like an experience that would have sent people to the psychiatrist's couch for many, many years. Was it difficult? Meaning, was it difficult to take all the possessions of your fellow Jews that you're pretending to not be one, and you're just outing them and going door to door and taking all their stuff? And so Steve Croft asked, you know, was it difficult? Soros' response, not at all. Not at all. Says it twice. And Steve Croft goes, no feelings of guilt? And Soros goes, no. So again, this is a dangerous individual, even then. Somebody that can compartmentalize and basically split off their personality and become two separate people. One who's a Jew just waiting to get loaded up on a train with your family, and another one who pretends to be the opposite of that, who does the helps with the facilitation of this process, helps with the classification of property of Jews. I mean, Steve Croft was right, man. Like, this should rightly have sent you to the psychiatrist's couch for a while to sort that out. George Soros, do you have a problem with it? No, I'm fine. No, it's no problem at all. Problem? Why would it be a problem? Look at all this free stuff we got. Or look at all the, I didn't wind up on the camp, on the trains. So what do I care? Right? So that's paramount in understanding who George Soros is. Because once you know that's how he thinks. And look, time out for a second. Okay, if you're facing the possibility of death, you do what you need to do to survive. Okay, so there's part of me that can say, well, you know, you try to get out of there if you can, or you try, you know, you exploit every loophole. I mean, it's every man for himself at that point, and you're just trying to stay alive. So I can maybe kind of sort of understand his working with them to not get himself killed. Okay, I can understand that part of it. But afterwards, not having guilt for that, not having this like conflict inside you, not having this sense of like, it could have been me, or it should have been me, or what, you know. Instead, he took that as like, the ends justify the means. Better to be on the side of power than not on the side of power. be whoever you need to be in the moment to get what you want. I mean, he took it in like a psychopathic way, as opposed to, you know, Charlie Sheen in Platoon, his character who's in a foxhole and they're all coming to look for everyone to shoot him. And there's a dead guy next to him. He grabs the dead body and rolls it on top of himself and hides underneath it. That's one thing, you know. I know it's a movie, but it comes from Oliver Stone's real life. So how much of that is fake and how much of it isn't? In The Fog of War, shit happens, obviously. But not having that self-reflection or having self-reflection and going, oh, it didn't bother me at all. Like, and it's no problem. It's no problem. You know, not even a little bit of a problem. His response was no. So that just tells you. So from there, he goes on to London and he winds up in the London School of Economics. He does very well. He's a smart guy, of course. And then he goes to America to become a currency trader. And it does that for a very, very long time and makes quite a bit of money. But, you know, when you're in London and you're working, you come out of the London School of Business and you go to America and you become a currency trader. And then all of a sudden you seem to get all these currency trades right. Trades that are pretty fucking difficult to be on the correct side of all of those. Pretty tough to do. And yet he is. And people are wondering, how are you doing this? Are you just some whiz kid mastermind? Well, not whiz kid. I mean, but in 92, when he made $1 billion breaking the British pound, I mean, he was in his 60s. So he wasn't like a kid or anything like that, but he just kept getting it right over and over again. Well, it turns out he's Rothschild financed. he's a Rothschild guy. And so that's sort of how this works. And he's known for this big currency trade that he did in 1992 that they describe as breaking the Bank of England. But there's a little bit more to that story. We'll get to that in a while. So what is George Soros, you know, sort of thought of now? Well, he's been, you know, at least on paper, worth as much as $32 billion, which is quite a bit of money. He has put $18 billion of that into the Open Society, which is his NGO. And we know about NGOs. There used to be a dozen of them in like 1900, and 2000, there's like 50,000 of them. So everyone's got one if you're in this line of work, and it's a nice tax shield, and it allows you some flexibility to do things and allows you to set up corporate structures in a way that benefits you, and you don't have to pay taxes, or you pay a limited tax or whatever. So there's benefits to that. There's benefits to taking your personal fortune and giving it to your charity, and then having your charity do the things with it that you wanted to do, but you can do it in a tax-free basis, or at least a reduced tax exposure basis. So that's part of what he did. He's a convicted felon, George Soros is. He was convicted in 2002 in France of money laundering, which is, I mean, if we were to lay out a list of the crimes George Soros is guilty of, money laundering would be pretty much at the bottom of it. And let's just be honest. I mean, money laundering is only a problem for governments. I got no problem with people laundering money. The governments launder money on the regular. So it's not like that's a huge crime. He's guilty of a lot of other things that he hasn't been found guilty in a court of law for doing, but he's most definitely been involved in it. Money laundering is like nothing. That's like the equivalent of like the Al Capone tax evasion charge. And of course he did no time for it or anything like that. You know, let's just be honest, man, you don't do prison time if you're George Soros. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. But I would say this, if you wanted to sum up who George Soros is or what he's about hate and division. He's about destroying countries, always disguised as help, of course. You know, you'd be very careful. You know, that arm that reaches down to help, to offer you a hand and lift you out of this situation is attached to the body that the other arm will strangle you later. And Soros is deeply involved in doing this stuff. If you take money from him, if you're a country that invites Soros in to help out, or if he decides that he wants to, destabilize you for a color revolution, he's got the finances to do it. And they always do it in a different, they always do it in a way that's very, well, it's very devious, and it softens a country up from the inside. They always manipulate their currencies first, which is a great strategy. And that's what he's done. He's been described as the single most destructive leftist demagogue in the country. And that's saying something, because apparently in this country, we've got Hillary Clinton, and she's pretty destructive herself. But she takes her money from Soros. She took almost $10 million from him last time around. No wonder she was in such a huge hurry to blame the Russians. If I owed George fucking Soros $10 million, I'd be blaming the Russians too. I'd be blaming everybody. So let's talk about Open Society. This is the vehicle that most people know him from. And it is, it's about open borders. Okay, this is what it's open. We want to open up society, so that we can wreck it. It's always that, like United Nations, we want to unite the nations. Oh, in harmony? Well, into a one world government. It's like open society. Oh, you want to open us up to freedom? Kinda. I want to open you up to currency manipulation. And then I want to destroy your culture. And then I want to install the president that I want in there. So if that's what you call open society, then yeah, I guess we're open to that. As for the things that they're into, well, look, first of all, Open Society is running in 120 different countries, so they're everywhere. Think of the Open Society as kind of like it's got a little United Nations in it. Let's just put it that way. He spent at least $13 billion. That's $13,000 million through Open Society to open up societies for things such as developing democracies. Now, okay, first of all, if you hear multi-billionaires talking to you about how they want to develop democracy, that should be a huge red flag, because these guys don't want anything to do with democracies. Is when you get a bunch of people together, and if you get enough stupid people together, they make a decision that goes against the smart people. So a guy like Soros, he doesn't want democracies. He wants autocracies. He wants one guy in position of power, and that guy he can pay off, and that guy he can make sure things go his way. And if you can't get him to do that, then he just finances a revolution and gets the guy out of office and gets his guy put in there. So when these guys are talking about, oh, open society, we're interested in developing democracies, that is a flat out lie. It's literally the last thing they want to do. But they're going to say they want to do it anyway, because it's all a sales pitch. So when they're not developing democracies, they are improving education, don't you know? Because if there's one thing George Soros wants, it's a bunch of smart people figuring out what he's up to, right? Reforming criminal justice. Now, this is something that the ad campaign matches what they're doing in actuality. When they talk about reforming criminal justice, they mean getting rid of laws. That they mean putting in Chesa Bowden in San Francisco, the woke district attorney weirdo who changed the law so that you can't get arrested for shoplifting on anything that's under $950. He's the guy that's financed all these district attorneys that have replaced law and order with just chaos and a revolving door at the local jail. So he is true. It is true when he says he's interested in reforming criminal justice. It's just not in the way that you would want it reformed. It's in his way. And they're also, Open Society is definitely involved in ensuring public health, because they care about your public health, right? And last but not least, and this is also true, a true statement, developing social justice platforms. So this whole woke culture, whatever acid trip that we've been living through for the last 5 years or so, didn't just happen organically. We didn't plant woke seeds and water them with unicorn piss and sprinkle fairy dust on it. It's coming because of George Soros's money. All right. This is the reason why it's happening. It's not just our turn to get woke. It's being made to happen. And of course, he's using useful idiots, you know, Kool-Aid haired diversity hire retards out there that think that they're going to be fighting and marching for the rights of all people. They have no idea what they're doing. It's part of the reason why I'm so hard on them. Yes, I said hard on. Because they are so oblivious to what's actually happening. You want to talk about the global chessboards. These people are the pawns. They have no idea that there's even a game being played, let alone that they're the first line to get marched into one another and get taken out. But that's what open society does. And they're really interested in developing social justice platforms, not because they actually want justice for people that are sort of socially repressed. And to be clear, there's plenty of people that are socially repressed that do need justice, that need help, that need to get out of this. And there's plenty of things about our society that we could fix and tweak that would make it infinitely better for the people that are being oppressed. But if you think that George fucking Soros is the guy to lead you out of this, you're out of your mind. You just don't understand what the game is. So it's important to hear when he talks about financing social justice platforms, that sounds really great in an advertising campaign. Much the way that the Great Reset sounds really great when the World Economic Forum starts talking about some of these components of it. Sounds great, but that's just the marketing campaign. Reality is going to be much different. And if there's one thing you can take to the bank is that the open society doesn't give a flying fuck about humanity, all right? They just care about manipulating people into getting them in a situation so that they get what they want at the expense of all these people that were used and discarded. So that's what they want, cultural Marxism. You know, they want that. And so all of this insanity that you're seeing, the Black Lives Matter crowd and Ferguson and woke district attorney weirdos and all this stuff, it's all Soros. You know, it's not only Soros, but it's all Soros. I mean, he's in all of those things. And it is, like I said, with Rogan goes, I just kind of, my eyes glaze over. Probably because you hear it so much. You hear about Soros over and over again and you go, he can't be involved in everything, can he? Well, yeah, actually he can. When you've got $32 billion, you can finance, you can fund people that can help you be involved in everything. And of course he is. He's deeply involved in and has invested in Planned Parenthood, Acorn, Southern Poverty Law Center. One of my favorite targets aren't Southern. They don't give a shit about poverty and they're not a law center. National Organization for Women. Now, National Organization for Women is financed by George Soros. So power to the women, right? Huffington Post, Media Matters, the Obamas, Hillary, and Center for American Progress. That's a political action committee that's just happens to be run by John Podesta. That's all. So if you're looking for the guy that finances pedophiles in their political careers, George Soros is also your guy for that. But did I mention he funded the riots at Ferguson? I mean, the mostly peaceful protests at Ferguson. It was all his stuff, man. $33 million of his flowed into Ferguson, Missouri. And what do you know? The media showed up to cover it, and it was as organic as Taco Bell, which is to say everything about it was fake. The message was fake. The coverage was fake. The funding was sketchy. It was Soros funding. He put another $10 million into a community called or a organization called Confront Hate. You know, all these names. It's such a dead giveaway when you see these names. It's like, oh well, I've invested in the National Organization for Women. It's like, oh, so it's going to help women? And they're like, what? No, No, we're interested in getting them out of the house and into the workforce so that we have access to their kids at school, and so that we can screw up their heads, and so that there are two parents working at the same time, and that nobody's home to take care of the kids, and that we can have them. Yay, power to women, right? So all this stuff is like long history of being financed by some bad people. And Soros is no, you know, this isn't anything new, really. It's just that he's the boogeyman du jour. And he's really good at it too, because he looks like a bad guy on top of that. He's got that Klaus Schwab intergalactic asshole look to him, those bags under his eyes. $32 billion, you can't get those bags under your eyes fixed? I mean, god damn. It's embarrassing. Somebody get a hold of Soros's fashion coordinator, for god's sake. Tell him he needs to get on the Klaus Schwab plan. Oh, that guy knows how to dress. He dresses like a fucking galactic empire, or like the emperor, or Palpatine or something. In 2020, George Soros announced that he would be investing $150 million into grants for, quote, Black-led racial justice groups, and another $70 million towards local grants for criminal justice reform. Okay, so this is the summer of 2020. Any recollection what was happening in the summer of 2020? You know, everyone was cooped up in their house with the coof, afraid that they were going to get COVIDs, and then no one was allowed to come out except for one event. Do you remember what those events were? Anybody? Oh yes, it was the burning of the cities events. Spot brought to you by Black Lives Matter, sponsored by George Soros. And I remember the CDC saying that you have to socially distance yourself from, you know, 6 feet is definitely the right amount of feet. But it's okay to go to the protests, because they said that they would, that the idea of confronting social inequalities was much more important than social distancing from COVID. So it was okay to go to the events for that. But anything outside of that, you really needed to honor the 6 foot social distance guidelines. So, I mean, like, if you live through that and you see that being reported with a straight face by your mainstream media, you understand that the whole thing is a gigantic scam, of course. Like, and of course, we've recognized that from the beginning, so it wasn't a big shock to us. But for some people, they're like, oh yeah, man, it's good. We're going to the BLM protest today. Like, but you're not social distancing. It's like, no. CDC said it was fine. They said it was fine for this event because, like, the social justice component of it is, like, really super important. So it's fine. COVID knows that, and, like, it doesn't bother you. So we're going to go to the rally, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to isolate myself and quarantine. It's like, oh my god. Like, the level of stupidity that it requires to believe this shit is alarming. And yet here we are, you know? And during that time in 2020, this is when Soros was investing $150 million for Black-led racial justice groups. Now, have you seen George Soros? He's as white, he's as big of a honky as you can be, right? He's the whitest white guy ever. But just really cares about the downtrodden, really cares about all of those persecuted groups as he's, you know, sifting through the Jews' belongings in 1944, taking out the good stuff for himself and sending them off onto trains with his partners to be executed. You know, but he totally fucking cares about Black Lives Matter and Black people, right? Right? I mean, if people can't see through this, then they're going to be in for a life of never putting two and two together and getting four. They're always going to be getting five. They're never going to be figuring this stuff out. These people, they don't care about you. When they put $150 million into Black-led racial justice groups, and then pallets of bricks show up in all of these cities from literally Acme Brick Company, like it's the Coyote and Roadrunner. And then the brick company is owned by a group that is owned by Soros. You're like, this is too easy. It's too obvious. So this is what these guys do. So it's important for people to remember that the Black Lives Matter group. Now, to be clear, plenty of reason for the black community to be mad. I'm not trying to say that there's no reason that their demands weren't warranted. Totally were, right? Like I lived through the Rodney King riots in South Central Los Angeles when I was in college there. One day it's fine, the next day the video store's burned to the ground. You know, like it goes fast. And what those cops did to Rodney King was bullshit. And then you get riots, and I shook my head and went, I don't blame you. I'd be pissed too. But Soros gets involved with a bunch of money, and then BLM, Registered Trademark Corporation, you know, that entity starts going on a global shakedown racket where they're just like, you know, nice corporation you got here. It'd be a shame if something bad happened to it. And Foot Locker's like, we'll give you $100 million. Please don't burn down our stores. We like black people. We sell them shoes, you know, all that stuff. Nike kicking in. It was just a corporate extortion racket for white guilt. And that was led by Soros, not the BLM itself, but the financing for that came directly from Soros. They said it. You don't have to look too far. He's involved in it. He financed Ferguson. You know, the riots in Ferguson with $33 million. You think BLM wasn't going to be the perfect opportunity in the summer of 2020 for the Soros group to destabilize and call out another color revolution? Of course it was. That's their specialty. That's what he does. He just hadn't done it here yet. Not in a real way. But he got his chance. So let's talk about this. The episode on the district attorneys, I thought was just good information for people to have, even if you don't live in those cities. When you start to see somebody in your city start to, like on a local level, get financed, and you start to hear the rumors, oh, this person is talking about remaking the police and talking about changing the laws and everything. Just keep your eyes on those people and take a look and see where they're getting their money from. If it's coming from anything connected to Soros, you're going to have a problem. So who has he financed? Well, $2 million to Cook County State Attorney Kim Fox. You remember Kim Fox, right? Jussie Smollett's best friend who sent him a text saying they're on to you. Yeah, Soros financed her campaign. And I think we can all agree Chicago's turned out just fine, right? Like, if the plan is to destabilize Chicago the way you destabilize, I don't know, Kyrgyzstan, then mission accomplished, or Belarus, or whoever is slated for destruction next. That's what they do. So when his money flows in, that's when you start to see problems. It was flowing into Chicago, and now you have Chirac. You know, that's the name for it. There's as many murders happening there on a weekend as there are people dying from COVID, you know, things like that. Always interesting to watch. The canary in the coal mine is Chicago. Because they've got that deep leftist tie to Obama's and Bill Ayers and Weather Underground and Hillary has ties there. And Soros is definitely putting a lot of money in there. So Chicago always kind of winds up on the radar. We talked about Chesa Boudin in San Francisco. His administration, or he, has been described as pure destruction. And his policies, at least according to the head of the police department union, is criminal first, victim second. But is that really a surprise when George Soros is financing? Prosecutor in Loudoun County, the one that wouldn't accept the recall over the trans bathroom rape, financed by Soros. Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner, that lunatic that sued the police department 75 times and then wound up becoming the district attorney, he went in and cut sentencing guidelines by 50%. He cut the amount of time that you spend on parole by 66%, financed by Soros. Milwaukee DA John Chisholm, the Waukesha. Remember the Waukesha driver guy from over Christmas who mowed down a bunch of people and kept getting let out? That guy, that district attorney, he was financed by George Soros. L.A. District Attorney George Gascon, 25% increase in violent crime since he's been there. He's a Soros guy. All of these people are in recall elections, every single one of them. The public is like, get these people out of here. Mike Schmidt, District Attorney of Portland. He's a Soros guy. You know, so that's what George does. He comes in, he finances these people and tries to break societies. Now, he'll break a country. He'll crack that country, you know, any way he can. But doing it from the inside is one way to do that, and rewiring the political or the prosecution side is a good way to do it. So he's been working on that with his district attorneys, but there's another way he does it as well. And he has been deeply involved in the migrant crisis, not just the one in the United States that we're seeing at the southern border, but the one that happened in North Africa and Europe. He was, you remember that one, right? The one that, you know, when his girl, Hillary Clinton, bombed the shit out of Libya and turned the most prosperous country in all of Africa into a failed state that has slave trades now, where you can go get yourself a human being for $400. That was Hillary's decision to destroy that place. And what happens when you take a thriving country and bomb the shit out of it for a year straight? Well, people leave, obviously, and they go somewhere else. And where they went, and if you understand the geography of North Africa, they went across the Mediterranean and wound up in Europe, and or they took the land route around and went through Turkey and wound up in Europe that way as well. So there's plenty of ways to get to Europe, and George Soros was happy to help that. He is interested in pushing migrants into Western Europe because of things like demographic shifts and great replacement, you know, where you take a culture like Germany that isn't interested in having a brand new community of Libyans living there or Somalis or whatever, and you force the country to take these refugees because you've got people on the inside that are making these policies happen, and you're financing the media, and you're creating this campaign, and then Germany goes, fine, we'll take them, and they live, and they don't assimilate because they didn't want to, and it creates huge problems. So everywhere the migrant crisis ended, you saw problems. And it wasn't just like women and children that were being relocated. A lot of like military aged men were being relocated there. He was pushing the migrants to demand things like resident status in places like France. He was doing it through a group called the Black Vests, you know, which is cute and clever. You have the yellow vests that were protesting the outrageous fuel prices and things like that. They came in and they go, well, we're trying to funnel a bunch of black people into France, so let's just call it the Black Vest. Isn't that cute? But that's what they called it. And that group was trying to persuade France to make exceptions and allow all these migrants in there. And of course, you know, the flow of people, you know, people are always kind of moving from one place to the other, but not in a crisis level scenario, unless you give them a pretty good reason to start moving. And one real good reason, probably the best reason, is if you're dropping bombs on them. So the list of people that Soros was helping to move through Northern Africa and parts of the Middle East and into Western Europe, they were coming from places like Syria, Kosovo, Afghanistan, Iraq, Somalia. What is the common denominator? All places that the United States was bombing the shit out of, right? What a surprise. There are a lot of people from Ukraine coming too, but of course Soros was in there destabilizing that place during his Orange Revolution. So this is what they do. Then they push all of these people out into Western Europe, and they don't mix well, and it creates big problems that Soros and his guys can capitalize on at a later date. So he wants to overwhelm countries in order to break their national borders, because again, they're the open society. They want open borders. That's what they want. And one way to get open borders is to finance a migrant caravan. But how do you get a migrant caravan going unless there's a reason? Well, you can either bomb the shit out of their original countries and scare them all into moving. You can create financial catastrophes by manipulating their currency, which of course Soros does as well. Or you can just pay them, which is what he did in the for Central America. And there was, of course, some destabilization happening in Central America as well, which caused that. But for the most part, it was a little too organized for it to just be all of a sudden everybody in Central America just up and marched in a single file line, decided today's the day, we're all going to walk together and go to America. No, stop. That doesn't happen organically like that. It happens if bombs are raining or your currency doesn't work. So then he'll use... You know, he'll use the overwhelming of the borders to destabilize these Western countries so that it's a little bit easier to put them back together or either get the people out that they don't want in power or get them into a situation where they can click up and form the makings of a one world government. He's in that camp. He's part of that team. That's what he's meant to do. So he does that. They were giving out the migrant handbook. It said migrant handbook. It was written in Arabic to people that were before they were crossing the Mediterranean by a group called Welcome to the EU, financed by Open Society. So they're telling them, hey, listen, you know, this is how you go. This is, you know, he's giving it out in like, it was like Turkey. In that region, and he was saying like, here's the handbook that you need to figure out. This is where you're going. This is how you go. You know, like all migrant crises have printed handbooks that they just hand out to people. Doesn't show advanced knowledge or that this is coordinated, organized event. And nothing says that quite like there being a fucking printed handbook that they give to you on your way out of this totally natural and organic, nothing to see here, migrant catastrophe. And look, these things aren't cheap either. He spent $500 million on this. So where do you get payback for that? $500 million is a hell of a lot of money, especially to spend it on migrants that you don't know. So, but that's part of his gig. You know, he's really good at making money. Well, he's really good at making money in currency trades when your best friends are the Rothschilds and they're controlling the banks and you have inside information. So it's kind of hard to lose on those when you get those sorts of tips. But part of the reason why he gets those sorts of tips is because there's another component to what he's needed to do, and that is the destabilization tactic. So he is fulfilling his role. And his role is of one of a destroyer of borders through his open society, among other things. But that's his primary goal. He wants to destroy borders. So he financed the migrant caravan in Central America, coming through Mexico and up into the United States. You started seeing people that were like coming across that border in El Paso, and people were like, hey, those guys are from Haiti. They're like, how'd they get here? Like Haiti's an island, you know, Hispaniola is an island, and like they didn't just swim here. So how the fuck did they get from Haiti to Mexico? Well, they were brought in. Well, who paid to bring them in? Because they didn't pay to bring themselves in. They're leaving Haiti, which has nothing. They're going to Mexico. They have nothing. Who's coordinating this? George Soros was coordinating this. This is what they do. You know, the migrant handbook that he hands out in Europe saying, this is how you deal with the EU. Well, you know what? You get a similar understanding of this is what happens when you get inside America. We're going to take care of you. Don't worry. Vote Democrat. Vote blue no matter who. Make sure you support our guys. We're the ones that got you in here after all, you know. So he's financed the Just Futures Law, which is behind the push to abolish ICE, which is Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. Look, I don't have a problem abolishing ICE, but I just don't want George Soros doing it. He's also financed a company or an outfit called United We Dream for the same purpose of destroying ICE. He's funded the Catholic Legal Immigration Network, an open border lobbying group. So if you're a group that wants open borders, contact George Soros. He'll give you money. You just have to actually do it or he'll murder you. So, or have one of his goons do it. So it's not just this though. He finances the media. Of course. I mean, what self-respecting oligarch prick doesn't finance the media? He gives his money to ProPublica and The Atlantic, run by Lorreen Powell, former wife of Steve Jobs, who's real good friends with Ghislaine Maxwell. So no surprise there that Soros is funding anybody tied to Maxwell. He gives money to CNN. They need it. He should give ratings to CNN. He should give viewers to CNN. He should make all these migrants. That should be part of the deal. All you migrants that are going into America, you have to watch. We're going to set up televisions and you have to watch CNN on your way in. And they're going to count you as viewers because they're so fucking desperate. He's financed the Washington Post, Salon, ABC News, Centers for Investigative Reporting. Look, if you work for a group called Centers for Investigative Reporting and you're taking money from Soros, just close your doors and lock it. Just don't pretend that you're doing any of this stuff. So what do they want? What does he want? What does he want the media to do for him? He's given him all this money. He's got to want his message to get out, which of course he does. So what is his message? Well, he's deeply behind the LGBTQ plus agenda. Okay. He's pushing riots and Black Lives Matter to destroy society. That's what he does. He's hardcore pushing sterilization and abortions everywhere. He's part of the depopulation crew. I mentioned Planned Parenthood already. He's pushing Democrats both nationally and locally as well. He's funding election reforms because, you know, he cares about a fair election, don't you know? And he's funding protests. He's funding protests and he wants the media to cover his protests in a way favorable to him. You know, so that's what he does. I love that I have a note here in my notes that it doesn't lead to anything. It just says Soros is the devil. I was like, maybe I was going to elaborate on that or maybe there's nothing to elaborate on. Maybe that's just the statement of fact. But he did start a political action committee called Democracy Pack. You know, you know, the names are when you see something like Democracy Pack, it's going to be nothing having to do with democracy. And you will know that because his son, Alexander Soros, is the president of it. So that's a good way to understand that nothing's going to actually happen. He put $80 million into it in 2020. He's got another $125 million for the midterm elections in 2022, like in the tail end. So get ready for that, America. You're going to get more ads on your nightly television from Democracy Pack. Is responsible for the content of this advertising. When you hear Democracy Pack, just write George fucking Soros all over it. That's what it means. He's got a lot of money to spend. He's got 125 mil just for these midterm elections. So he's going in ready for it. I mentioned he's financed Hillary. Obviously, he financed everybody that was running against George W. Bush. He just put $24 million and sprinkled it around on everybody. Still didn't win. Ironically, and this is an interesting point, he funded the building of Trump International Hotel and Tower in Chicago. Did you know that? He put $160 million into that.
Uh-oh.
Why do you think Trump didn't go after Soros during his 4 years? He said, leave the guy alone. He's got enough problems. Oh, yeah. If he loaned me $160 million, I probably would be telling people to look the other way, too. But actually, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take money from Soros. No. But I guess if you're Trump, you would. And we can file this under nothing to see here. But he's partnered up with Bill Gates to buy a company called Mologic. Sounds a lot like Moloch to me. Mologic in the United Kingdom for $41 million. What does Mologic do? What do they do? Nothing. They just are a COVID testing company that's now owned by George Soros and Bill Gates. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's with Bill Gates, Soros is one of the largest shareholders in Monsanto, just like Bill Gates was. So, you know, he sprinkles a little bit of his money around. He's given $50 million to the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, in 2014 to help with the woke district attorney campaign, you know, to get these Chesa Boudin characters in there. The ACLU helped him do that. And then these guys got into office and then dismantled the policing system in all of that. And the ACLU is supposed to be there for civil liberties. And Soros approached them and said, no, we're going to remake the policing system in the prison system so that we're better for people's civil liberties. And the ACLU, because they're apparently retards, went, oh, okay, so you're the good guy. We'll take your $50 million. We didn't know you were the good guy. You want to help civil liberties. We thought you were just here to destroy them. No, he's there to destroy them. All right. Don't you worry about that at all. George Soros is most definitely not there to protect your civil liberties. He does not give a flying shit about that stuff. Okay. What he wants the removal of the death penalty. He wants you to ignore drug crimes. And he wants district attorneys that won't imprison people who can't make bail. You know, so he wants a war against law enforcement, you know, and things like that. Now, I got my problems with the criminal justice system and the prison system, and it most definitely needs to be reformed. But I just don't think that George Soros is the type of guy that you want to bring in for something like that. I just don't trust him. I mean, no, why should I? He's moved on to a new thing, though. He's realized he's had such a good response with getting into kids early. Well, not kids, but, you know, colleges. And he understands that if you can take controls of the education system in the colleges and universities, you can have a real impact on the way people think moving forward. So what has he done? He's given $500 million to Bard College to fund education and social initiatives. That's a hell of a lot of money to give to one college, but it's part of a much bigger play that he's got. And that is called the Open Society University Network. This is going to be something that people should keep their eyes on. Of course, it's led by this guy, Leon Boston, who's the Bard president. So he gives $500 million to Bard, and then he takes their president and says, we want to make you in charge of the Open Society University Network. And he puts Alexander as the chairperson to kind of oversee this whole thing. And this scam is focusing on the developing world because, you know, George Soros cares about Africa. They're appealing to scholars that have been forced to leave their homes, leave their country, due to an authoritarian leader, and they've been persecuted for their beliefs. And so what he says is, why don't we do this big Open Society University Network where we can then approach all those people and say, come here, we'll educate you. And so he's building this. This is in sort of the early stages, but you're probably going to hear more about that Open Society University Network. And you just think George Soros wants to corrupt college minds, you know, college age thinking minds, and definitely in the third world. So that's what he's working on. Is another thing he's got cooking. He's got a lot of things up his sleeve. I mean, when you've got this much money and this much influence, you can get a lot done. He is involved in what's known as the Institute for New Economic Thinking. It's co-founded by Soros. It's like if you took the World Economic Forum and just put a bunch of economists in there. So what they say is this, INET, Institute for New American or New Economic Thinking. INET's leadership includes Nobel laureates, policymakers, and innovative scholars who come together to promote relevant economics that serves society. It doesn't really sound like necessarily anything too bad, except that you get down to their core mission when they get through like the virtue signaling stuff, like, oh, we're economists and we're gonna serve society. And you're like, yeah, okay. You're started by Soros, so I know you're up to no good. I just want to know where the angle is. Like, what am I gonna read in here that's gonna make me know for sure that you guys are up to no good? You get through a little bit more and you keep reading and you find out and you go, oh, I understand. You get to the point where they talk about that they're plotting to uncover solutions while incorporating analysis of climate change, population growth, and stressed resources into their research. So if you're an economist and you want to get financed by this Soros group, you can do that. But what you're working on, your economic policies, has to be tied to climate change, population reduction, and resources. This is Club of Rome shit. Okay. This is that type of thinking. Like I said, he's in the depopulation club. This isn't an accident. Whenever you hear someone talking about how they're going to get all these people together to solve climate change, just red flags should be going up, bells and sirens going. And if they follow that by talking about population growth, limits to population growth, and resource challenges, automatically you should just be like, this is a depop operation. And these people are definitely on the wrong team. So keep that in mind. Look, Soros is a member of the Committee of 300. Confirmed. They're a depopulation operation. They created the Club of Rome, which is using climate change, the pretext of climate change, as the reason to depopulate. And Soros is definitely involved in that operation. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a member of the Trilateral Commission. He's a member of the United Nations. He's a member of the World Economic Forum. He's in the group. He's a member of the Committee of 300. Again, if you know about that organization, doesn't get any more dangerous than that group. So, you know, he on top of all of that, as if all of that wasn't enough, I mean, I think the one thing that might even be implied by that is that, and I mentioned it at the beginning, that he is a Rothschild's agent. He is an agent for them. He was brought up by them right out of college. So he's been tied to them for a very, very long time. They describe him as a political animal and financial speculator. Well, he's an animal, all right. And look, of course, he's got deep ties to intelligence. He's worked with Rafi Eitan, Shaul Eisenberg, and Mark Rich. Those are all Mossad-connected people. Real dangerous rich guys with ties to Israeli secret intelligence. So you don't operate in this world, this capacity, without having intelligence ties. And part of that means that you wind up getting involved in things like, in Soros's case, color revolutions. You know, the destabilization of the Soviet Union. Soros was deeply involved in that. Currency manipulation. Yeah, That's what he does. That's his thing. Been involved in the destabilization of Yugoslavia, Poland, Hungary, Ukraine in the past, Ukraine now. I mean, if you don't think George Soros isn't part of this Ukraine destabilization, then you just don't know who he is. That's what they do. Getting in there and buying up these companies and industries for pennies on the dollar. So in 2003, George Soros organized and financed the Rose Revolution in Georgia. In 2004 and 5, he financed the Orange Revolution in Ukraine. He knows the place very well. He financed the Arab Spring in 2010. That was in Egypt, Tunisia, Yemen, Syria, and Bahrain. He financed the Belarus protests. He financed the Tulip Revolution in Kyrgyzstan. And he financed the Black Revolution in America, Black Lives Matter. That's who George Soros is. He's a reprehensible piece of shit. He's a smart guy who's very dangerous, has all the money in the world, and the connections to keep him out of trouble. I understand when Rogan wants to roll his eyes and say, oh, you guys, like, I can't take any more Soros talk. I get that. But you dismiss him at your own peril. Hey, if you want to connect with me, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at macroaggressions. And if you are interested in connecting with me, the website's the best place to do it. We've got a cool merchandise shop. You can get, three-quarter baseball-length t-shirts that say Operation Paperclip or all kinds of crazy stuff on there. Worth checking out. You can do that at the website. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.